Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Okay, a couple of announcements to start with. This meeting will be available to the public on the posted Zoom website. Minutes will be available on the town website as usual. And the meeting will follow the same format as the previous three meetings. And with any kind of luck, with the August meeting, we'll be able to be back to having real meetings. Because I don't think this is necessarily a joy for anybody, but we have to do, so we're doing it. Okay, first we'll talk about the previous monthly meeting minutes. Any comments? Could I have a motion to accept?
Motion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Sorry.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Did Herb sign in? Is Herb with us? Doesn't look like he is.
I haven't seen Herb yet.
Okay, if he's, you know, if he knocks on the door, we'll let him in and he can give his report in a bit. But we'll move on to Paul. Are you prepared with a report for us?
Sure, I can be in, well, I can be in just a second, I think. Hold on a second.
Sure. In the meantime, I'd like to thank Paul. It's been a little bit of short notice to throw this thing together. I was planning right up until actually yesterday morning to do it, you know, live with as many people as we wanted within reason. And then we found out that the governor had extended his executive order so that we had to do it by Zoom again. And here we are. So thanks, Paul.
Very good. Okay, here's my report, and I'll get a copy of this file to you afterwards, to you and the town clerk. Just a couple quick points. Tug Hill Commission operates 50% occupancy level with the schedule with the Watertown-based staff, or at any given time, half of the staff is in the Watertown office and half are working from home. So we're all working, but only half are in the main office in Watertown. And Tug Hill staff are available for meetings with your municipality at this point. As you noted, the governor's executive order allowing remote meetings and public hearings by means such as Zoom has been extended until August 6th. And if there are any additional extensions after that, we'll let you know. If you have any other additional meetings where that might be a help, let me know and I'd be happy to help you out. I did want to mention that since the local government conference that we didn't have this year, we've been trying to bring some of the content and to you by way of Zoom conferences and webinars and putting things on YouTube. And I wanted to let you know that the Tug Hill Commission has a YouTube channel where past webinars and other training material is available to view at your convenience. So check it out. The link will be in the file I will send you. And then finally, hopefully everybody got a copy of the Tug Hill Commission's annual report, Headwaters, this spring. I do have some extra copies in print, and if you don't have one yet or you didn't get one in the mail, I'd be happy to give you one. And I'd also like to check and make sure what email address we have on file, or excuse me, what mail address we have for you, since these do go out in the regular mail. Let me know and we'll make sure that your contact information is current. And that's all I have for you for tonight.
Sorry. That was me, sorry. Is that for all the board members that you need our address?
No, I should. I think I do have email addresses for you and all the board members, and I think I have your mailing addresses as well. So I think everybody should have gotten it. But if anybody didn't, I just wanted to make sure that we didn't miss anybody. And I will have copies to hand out next time I'm with you physically in person.
Okay. Hopefully that'll be soon.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Any questions? Okay, we'll move on to Ted. You want to bring us up to date?
Yeah, we got all of our millings
milled down, all ready to go. We're going to be paving the 3rd of August. I talked to him today, and we paved up the ore well, and we did all the dirt roads this month. Just got done with Smoky Road today, and we're getting ready to go to Amboy next week, and then it's going to be us. But other than that, that's what we've been concentrating on, and found that truck. I talked to you about it, and that's about it, other than making a decision out here on the playground to go with either stone or because I checked the other playgrounds out around, and the stones are the ones that look the best and put paper down. You know, I don't want to just throw sand in it. In a couple of years, we'll be mowing it again. So, you know, while we're there, if we're going to do it, let's do it right. I figured it should only be probably one good load of stone should do it.
Do you have any idea off the top of your head what a load of stone would it cost?
No, what I'll do, Mike, is I'll call up there tomorrow and I'll get a price for you. And,
okay.
I've been very busy with the boys with that Smoky Road. I had to seal up the roads that we've done so far. I haven't trained anybody on that. John and Neil from Morwell are being trained on it right now every time that I'm out with it. And I got Eddie trained on the grader. He's doing a fantastic job. So that's all I'm asking for is to do basically what I do. You know, I don't look for anything special. But really, other than that, we're just trying to hurry up and get everything ready because we got a lot of patching to do on the shoulders of the roads where the shoulders have all came apart. And I'm trying to get them caught up so that when we do the oil and stone, I can do the patching at the same time.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about the truck that we're going to be getting tomorrow?
Yeah, it's a 2007. It's got the 6.0 diesel in it with the turbo. It's the 4-door flatbed with the movable racks. It has the tow hitch. Everything's all set up to where you can haul the trailer. It's a dump box. It's exactly what I've been looking for. Exactly what I've been looking for.
Crew cam?
Hmm?
You don't have a crew cam?
Yes, it's got a 4-door. Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
that's how many miles on it?
98,000. Them diesels, they go a long ways. It was a repoed vehicle. It sat inside until the paperwork all got cleared. It actually has been sitting for 3 years inside, and it's a nice truck. It's exactly what we need, what I've been looking for. It's what we should have had in the first place before that other truck. So,
and you're... Do you plan to sell one of the other trucks to make up some of the difference eventually down the road?
Yeah, that one is was replacing the one that burnt in the fire.
Gotcha, that's right.
Not the red truck. Steve's old red truck's coming off the road. I mean, that thing I only threw together to get us through when we had the fire. And we've made it work this long, so I feel we made out all right.
Okay.
That's the only other trucks we got. Pickups then. Is yours and the old red one?
You know, we got the tool rack, the fire truck, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Remember
yeah, that. Yeah, that has all the tools and everything all on it. And we use that. That's basically what we've been using. But I'd like to start saving on the miles on that. So that's what this other truck is for. It's exactly what we need, you know. There's no sense of taking two trucks driving all over the place when you can take one. I mean, and it's a diesel. We don't have to run the burn area every time we have to fill it up. They showed up to do the propane, but them tanks that they had figured would work ain't going to work.
Yeah.
We have to put the big torpedo in, which I already knew that from the beginning, but... they're going to call and let you know.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I've talked to George.
Sometime or other, they sold the other two trucks they had. They had a old white pickup. Remember
yeah.
that one?
Yeah, and then they had that van or whatever it was there.
Mark Pay, they sold that one they bought from him.
No, that's the one that burned.
That's the one that burned, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's you know, basically what this truck is replacing. But, well, we got by with what we had.
People think we got four or five pickups, so explain to them we don't.
Right. And you'll take delivery on that tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Mr. Yurden has arrived.
Oh, Herb's here now?
He's okay. Connecting to audio, it says. So he should be available in just a minute.
Okay. Yeah, we're still with Ted right now. Yes.
All we're doing is we went down through, because it's all went in and grew in. We went right down through, graded it right off, rolled it. So now when you go through there, it's not scratching the new truck when I have to go down through there and check the beaver grates. So, you know, it got to where the truck was driving like this down through there because it was a tunnel. So
should that be a road to be considered?
Well, I've got something up my sleeves, you know, I got something up my sleeves as far as, what's that? Right, but it's still our road to maintain, and the thing of it is in there's a piece of land where, you know, in the future, we might be interested in starting a gravel bed in there, because that has beautiful sand. That's where, right across the road from where Richland's been hauling sand for how many years? I'm telling you right now, I know one person, if you offer a little bit of money in there, I'll guarantee you, you'll get it. And that could be our sand for a long time. I mean, go drive down that road and take a look inside of the banks. It's, there ain't a pebble in there. That's what the way I'm looking at it is, my long-term deal here in the future, we're going to have a gravel bed. And if that's a road that might get us a chunk of land and we can get in and out of there, I think it's a smart thing to do. It took 2 days to open it up. It's not like it cost us a fortune.
The other,
we're
going to have to weigh it ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you brought up something that may be a good thing, yeah. The other thing is, someone builds a house back in there, you end up like they did on Hobson Road, and have to, you know, fix the road to go get them. Or they can actually drive it down, and we have to maintain it. That's the problem. But we got to, you know, weigh them.
Madison Road, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Madison Road, we got to do that.
Yes.
Yep.
Madison Road, and I believe the road right across from that.
Yeah. Right.
Austin Road. Make it seasonal.
That's right. Cool. Yeah, that's like Austin Road, seasonal. Austin, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Point, Carol, we need to think about what roads we can abandon and aren't utilized where we don't have to build roads. Specifications of quality.
They want to these fishermen to come buy some land in there and build a house. And we got to maintain it then.
I did do some research on some of that.
Oh, Christ. I don't understand why people don't want to make this town better.
It's really hard to abandon a road. It's a huge process. And it doesn't, pretty much, it said once a road, always a road. There was a court case in Rensselaer, town of Rensselaer, that this town hadn't maintained a road in over 30 years. Someone applied to have, because they wanted, they had land down there. They actually wanted to block the road off. They would not allow them to block the road off because it was still considered a usable road. And nothing more than four-wheelers and walking people had gone up and down. So it could become a gigantic deal if we start trying to abandon.
Well, it's just like over in Dugway, Mike, that what is it, Howardville Drive, I think it is? I can't remember what the name is. That's one end of it, and the other end is down where people were saying that I was plowing people's yards. But that's our road that we have to plow down into there. And they tried to shut that off once before, and it couldn't happen.
Way in between, the signal road. there's someone over there and build a house, say you can drive in another summer, we haven't got a problem.
Carl, there's not a seasonal road designation anymore. Doesn't it's called a minimum maintenance road. Right. And that road is classified.
Weight and width, right?
It's classified as minimum maintenance road. Austin Road, Smoky Road, Howardville Drive. There's a couple of them. They're all on the map out there. But they're classified as minimum maintenance. We took over for seasonal. Yep. So you don't have to bring it up to standard. It's minimum maintenance. You do have to maintain it twice a year. You have to have a schedule of what you're going to do.
We don't have to plow in winter.
No. Yes. But okay. If you get a hold of Paul and he can bring one of his people and give you a workshop.
Went through this 8-10 years ago.
We went all through it a couple of years ago.
Right. Right. On Austin Road on the other side of 104. That guy was trying to get it to where we plow up there, and it got shut down. He wants to live up there, then it's his responsibility to plow it. Right, exactly. We don't do that one. Well, there's ways around that, you know. It's...
All right, let's move on. Let her give his report, and we'll come back to I got more.
Okay.
If you don't mind waiting, I just want to let
her go ahead. Yep, let her go ahead.
Herb, are you on with us now?
Yeah, I'm on. Well, I didn't think you were going to have an actual meeting. I was told it was going to be a Zoom meeting. Yep, I went down and took the information off your door, and so I got on Zoom instead of being down there.
Well, it is a Zoom meeting.
Oh, kind of confusing, I guess.
I know. Sorry. Everything's confusing.
Well, just to bring you a date on our virus, COVID-19, as of July 13th, county and the number of tests that's been done in the county is 19,378. And positive cases was 225. We've got, of the ones that had, 205 of those have already recovered. We only got 16 positive active cases going on right now. So that aspect, I think we're doing pretty good. The safety and everything is still the same. You got to wear the mask 6 feet apart, wash your hands. That hasn't changed at all. And we got a land sale coming up, which is going to be on 2 days. August 6th and August 7th, you got to fill out this county tax form here. Quite lengthy. You read it. They advise you to have a lawyer go over with you because there's a lot to this once you decide you want to bid on a piece of property. Because once your money has been sent in, money will probably keep it. You won't be getting it back if there's some reason you don't want the property. You better know exactly what you're bidding on. And this year, if you lost your property, you can bid back on your property. This is the first time they've done that. So a former owner are permitted to participate in the live auction. They also participate online pre-bidding and must bid the amount of back taxes plus interest, plus penalties owed to the county in order for your bid to be recognized. In other words, you've got to come up with that amount of money. And if you do, that's what the bid has got to start off at. Someone else can overbid you if they want to. So at least the owner can try to get his property back. And if you have any questions, phone number you can call. It's 518-895-8150. And there is going to be a place you can go. You don't have to be online. You can go out to Battle Island and you can actually go out there and bid. And the way the bid works, give you a quick sample. You bid $50,000 for a piece of property. The day of the auction, you're going to have 10% of the payment, which is $5,000. Then you got to come up with bidder's premium, which is another 10%, another 5,000. Then you have to administrative fee, which is $300. So the day of the auction, if you buy that property, you got to have $10,300. And if you bid on a piece of property $1,000 or less, you got to have all the money that day. So the remaining amount of money, if you come up with the $10,300, additional costs are due no later than September 10th. So there's quite a few rules in this bidding process. If I was going to bid on it, I would make sure that you really understand the bid process, because could lose money if you didn't, wasn't really understanding how that procedure works. And there's also a senior farmers market coupon drive-through distribution. They were COVID-19 safety precautions. Farmers market will not be distributing at the main office. Just go to the main office and you could get a coupon. Persons age 60 and over with a gross income below 185% of federal poverty guidelines, $168, you could get a coupon. And if it's two people in the house, it goes up to $2,068. The day they get, there's two places they're going to be giving this money, this food away. One that's going to be out by the college in the Romney parking lot on July 16th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. There's one going to be at Cayuga Community College parking lot. Oh, and that's on the 17th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. If you decide to go to that, they're pretty efficient. I mean, to take long for you to go through there. They're also having that, Oswego County's having the youth employment program launches today, which is the third, what's on the 15th. And, the ages on the youth program to apply for a job for the summer is 14 to 24 years of age. And they must be a resident of the county and meet one of the following criteria: low household income, and there's Medicaid and Medicare, and SSI disability. There's a few things you have to qualify in order to apply for this job. And people from the age of 21 to 24, if you apply for the job, you must also be pregnant, or you got to be a parent or relative caring for a minor child in the household. But they're looking to have a lot of jobs throughout the county. So it's a good chance, if you know some kid who wants to apply for one of these jobs, they're low income, it's probably a pretty good deal for them. And if you want more information on that one, call 315-591-9076. That's just for the youth of the county. We did have our meeting in Oswego last month, so you got to stay your distance, got to wear a mask until you get and sit down. Our meetings are starting to go back to normal. About tonight, your meeting was going to be back to normal, but it wasn't. So.
What's normal?
That's about it for the county side tonight.
Okay, any questions for Herb? Okay, thank you. I do have one question. Is there any chance that we're going to get some more masks and or gloves possibly? Has there been any talk of that?
No, one township tried to get some more masks and not hardly any available anymore. We never did get the gloves. But, I'll drop some of this paperwork off to you. Are you working tomorrow in Plaski?
Yes.
I'll drop this off, this brochure about the tax sale. and where to get more copies. Right now, we, as of on a tax sale, there's going to be down to 280 parcels. And it's in just about every township.
Oh.
If you're interested, I'll drop this off. And anybody wants to get a copy, they can get it from you, or they can go to all the county treasurer's office, and they'll do the same thing.
Okay.
All right.
Yep. Thank you. Okay, we'll go back to Ted at this point. I did made some phone calls regarding the bond anticipation note. First of all, the new truck, which is a 2021 Western Star, is at Viking.
Yep.
Being implemented, or whatever you want to call it, updated with all the new equipment that it's got to have. And thanks to the COVID delays and everything, they are now shooting for a mid-September delivery. In the meantime, I have been in touch with NBT Bank and our lawyer, and the rate will be between 1.45% and 1.87%, which is way cheaper than some of the other ones that Rick checked into. So that's pretty cool. So we're moving forward with that. We'll be ready by the time the truck's delivered, and we'll be able to move forward with that.
Good. Yeah, no, I had talked to him, and I'd known that it got right behind. So I knew it was going to be September. Nothing goes right for me.
No.
Since I've walked into this place, it's been a nightmare. But we'll get there.
Is that purchased on contract?
What's that?
New York State contract.
Oh, do you have a contract? Do we have that in writing anymore?
It's on the quote.
On the book?
On the quote. We've got a proposal on. A written proposal.
That's it on the proposal. Not the one that you gave me. I don't need to know it right now, but
okay.
We need to know it before we go to pay, when we go to paper.
Right.
That's the same thing with the truck that we want to purchase now. Did we put that out for bid anywhere?
Yeah. I read the procurement policy, and that's a sole source for that truck replacing, because we couldn't go find that exact truck anywhere else. So it doesn't have to be bid. Ted, I have a question for you. I've spent quite a bit of time in the last few days reading that. The Red Highway book.
Yep.
And I came up with something that it suggests, it doesn't really say you have to, but it's a good idea. And I think you've already done it, at least to some extent. And that's, as we're coming into the budget talks, if you could put together a five-year plan on what you want to do as far as roads, sidewalks, and drainage.
Yep.
So we'll know, we can press out and see what's coming up.
No problem. That's the way you got to do it. You got to figure it like that, because we can't do it in a couple of years. You've got to look long term in order to get anything done. That's how it's got to go.
Right.
Backing up then, how much can Ted spend without board approval?
$3,000.
Mm-hmm. So we bought a pickup for $11,000. So we don't have any. Don't have any board.
Yeah,
it's already been discussed.
It was approved.
It was approved and put into an account.
Yeah. First of all,
right? Yeah, this is
way back. I've heard of it.
Well,
this was approved a year ago. It was in the budget from last year after the fire. It's taken him a year of looking for this truck. When he found the truck, he called me. And I called Rick. I got no answer. I didn't have your number at the time. So I called Lonnie and Randy also. We got the approval because he wanted to move on that truck before it disappeared.
Yeah.
Brought it
down, right?
Five. You know, I say five. There was 16 in the account, you know, and it was 13.5 he wanted for. I got him down to 11. I mean, I didn't think he was going to budge. But he did. But he had two other guys that were hot.
I just wanted to know if it was the first I heard of it.
Yeah,
it's, I heard the guy, but I didn't. But I know I wouldn't get any phone call.
Right,
but it's not advanced.
So that's weird.
That's all right.
Okay.
if you want.
Any other questions for Ted? That's all I've got.
Just that you do, Ted, for the fuel.
What's that?
You can dip the tank.
You know what I mean?
What do you mean, dip the tank?
See how much fuel you have.
Oh, yeah, with this, yeah, we got a fuel stick. Yeah. Nope.
So you guys do that weekly?
No, we don't do that weekly. I mean, it all depends on how much we're running the trucks.
That's not necessarily what it's for. It's, you're going to get expansion and contraction, right? You know what I mean, in the hot days.
Yeah.
But it's there to see, and I know that we've got depth deterrence there, but it's to see if we're losing fuel and if we're keeping track of our inventory. If you should maybe just look into it, just so that, because we've been written up in the past years ago.
Yeah, that was because there was a fuel dumpage.
No. It was before that.
You're talking about dipping every day to see?
No, I don't. We used to have to dip it every day. But, I mean, I don't know what the comptroller wants, but it would be hoovous to check it out.
We're already doing more than we were doing, so we're yeah, stepping in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, this is great, what he's doing right now. But that is, it'll tell you what your figures are. Match, you
know,
deliveries and that kind of
sure. Thing. Okay. Anything else for Ted? Thank you, Ted. Dog control officer, Steve Kronk is he. I talked to him today. He had nothing to bring before the board. It's been pretty quiet, the problems. I did have a thing that I talked to him separately about that does have a little bit to do with the town board. I received a couple of ATV complaints. One was actually my own, to be honest with you. There's been a ton of traffic. Sure, on the test route down 22. Groups and groups. I mean, it's one thing to have one or two going down through, but we've had five and six and 10. All times, and I watched two of them go up my neighbor's driveway. As soon as they realized it was somebody's house, they came back down, and on the way back down, they both did donuts all the way down the driveway. And then, of course, hightailed it back towards the village. So what Steve would like to do, which this part doesn't really have much for us to do, he wants to get some signs made that he will post just outside of the area where they park there, the little campground. That will say not open for ATV traffic, local traffic only. So that way, like if someone like Rick or myself wanted to take our four-wheeler down to the store to get some gas, we would still be able to do that. But it's not going to be open for these groups of four-wheelers to go up and down the road. He said he will talk to the county. He will get the signs made, and he will talk to the county about making sure they're installed properly. At that entrance so that people aren't going to be going up or down County Route 22. The other complaint I had was on Hastow Road where someone apparently, they believe it was a four-wheeler, although no one saw it happen, smash, take out a mailbox. So they have asked to have their driveway designated as a no turnaround because what happens is people come off that trail on Hastow Road and it is available for ATVs. Then they go past where the trail cuts back in, they end up turning around in these people's driveway. So they just want a signpost there that doesn't allow the ATVs to turn around in the driveway, and he said he would take care of that as well. So really, we don't have anything to do. I just thought I'd keep everybody up to date on that. So when you see those signs go up on 22, they're official. Okay, cemetery report. For the month of June, we had a sale of one plot, one cremation, and two foundations for a total of $985. We need to discuss and decide if we want to cut those trees down going up to the monument, wait till next year to deal with them. I personally, myself driving by and taking a look, I think they look nice the way they are. They trimmed them back. So you got a nice view up to the monument. I mean, if we cut them down, we're going to have to replace them with something. So I'd like to know what everybody's opinion is on that as far as
I looked at them on board. And trimming them didn't make a big difference. Stepped up. And I don't know what to do if you have a little fire on them. You can't see the soldier.
Right.
Knows that.
Yes. Man. Yes.
So they need to be trimmed up further. And I don't know if that would ruin those trees quicker or not. So
we can. We could maybe try that, but the next step beyond that is cut the tree down.
Fires the curve in this next time period.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd rather put pressure washing and leave them alone. Just paint them and keep peeling them.
Yep.
And we never run in time.
Okay. Everybody agree with that?
With yeah.
The curbing? Lonnie?
Yep.
Okay. Now, what about what do you want to do with the tree? Let's make a decision with the trees. Do we want to try trimming them back a little further?
Might get somebody to the, maybe get the challenge bucket truck to do it.
If you can,
I would
try trimming just a little bit more and good enough for this year, personally.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a lot better than what it was.
I agree.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
Think you okay with that, Lonnie? Lonnie?
Yeah.
You're good with that? Trimming the trees a little more?
Yeah, I just seen, soon see them trim back and cut them down.
Yep. I kind of agree with that too, because I do think they look nice myself, but. Well, you know, we can trim them back a little more, go with this year, and then if we decide, we can take them down next year, plant a fresh tree in the spring. And yes, she did say that. Okay. All right. Well, at least we made a decision on that. So thank you. Okay. Next on the list is Mike Maxwell. Good to see you. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you until tonight, so. Give us a little report, and I think there will be some questions.
Well, obviously, we're going to do a complete reassessment of all the properties. I already filed with the state. We're going to do a complete reassessment of all the properties, and I've already sent the state. We have to send in the advisory for the utilities. That's already been sent into the state. I notified the state representative that oversees the assessment, and she's on board. The town board would have to pass a resolution stating that they are going to do a reassessment and you're going to put the properties at 100%. And the state would want a copy of that just to make sure that you are going through with it and any of their help or anything else isn't in vain if you don't go through. Over the next until snow flies or snow gets too deep, I'll probably be looking at properties, trying to adjust the assessments accordingly, taking some new photos, trying very little not to contact a lot of people because obviously with what's going on, but if need be, I may try to have a mask on if I have to knock on the door and try to get a few more measurements or do something like that. The other place that's just a complete pain right on the other side, and Vern knows it too, is that Maple Landing. It's just a cluster, you know.
I have a few comments about that, though. I'll pass on a few minutes.
I'm going to try to get the county as aerials and try to get that overlaid over a tax map so we can figure out exactly what's what in there, because it's so hard to go in there with no roads, no nothing, to figure out who owns what, what's on what parcel, and so on. There's been a lot of changes in there. Some haven't changed, but some have changed. But I'll definitely, you know, try to get that. To me, that's a mess cleaned up. The other issue is going to be, I mean, properties are selling. Don't anybody tell you they're not selling. They are selling, they're selling for a lot of money. I mean, I just was going over to that camp that just sold for $85,000, it's assessed at $50,000. I mean, stuff is selling, that kind of stuff is selling. And believe it or not, the other thing that's bumped up a lot is even single-wide mobile homes on acre land have increased a lot. Double-wides have increased a lot. Anything with 20, 30 acres of land has increased a lot. So, I mean, there's going to be quite a bit of a change. I mean, normally, I think with equalization rate, if everybody goes up, a fluctuation of 20-25%, the taxes won't change. But obviously, something goes up more than that, they're going to see an increase. If they go up less than that, they'll see a decrease. I will have the state run impact notices, which we'll send out at the end of February, beginning of March. It'll give them what the old assessment was, what the taxes were, and then I'll give them the new assessment with the new tax that should be associated with that new assessment. So whether they go up or down, I'll give them some indication of what the change is. And then what I'll do is have a phone line where people can call in, and I'll go over stuff with them either, depending on what the pandemic is in, whether I go over in person or by phone. I did work up in the Adirondacks this past March, and we did everything by phone. The other ones I'm having, I put a call into an email to the state. Along the Salmon River, there's a lot of properties that have a house, and then they have two lots. The first lot is theirs, and the second lot is a 0.29, 0.39, 0.039 number associated with it. And those are the easements along the river. And the state pays on those. And I'm trying to figure out exactly what I'm supposed to do with valuing those properties. I'm not exactly sure how I'm supposed to be looking at them because there's an easement on it's under a state thing. So do I just use what the state easement value is? Do I have more on it? So I'm getting some feedback from the state about those properties. That's probably one of the stuff along the river is probably going to be one of the most contentious advances and stuff that seems to be selling at the highest rate of anything else. Even a couple of commercial properties that have sold, they've sold for, I think, two of them sold for twice what the assessments were. I didn't think of anything.
When something like that happens, on the next owner, does their assessment go up by that?
The only thing I do is I look at stuff in a light that, you know, was the information that was on it before accurate, or was there something missed? I mean, sometimes I'll go back home and say, wow, the place has been completely upgraded, and that's why it sold for that much more. And so I will increase it to some extent, but I never take it back up to the number that what they paid on. As Vern and I both know that, you know, things do change in these backwoods without anybody ever knowing
what's going to change. Yep. And what's the, I didn't catch exactly what you said in the very beginning when you were talking about getting back to the 100% reval. Is that next year, 2021, we would be back at 100?
The school bills that go out in September 2021, and then would be the town tax 2022.
Okay.
That's the role here that we're working on right now. 2020 is in the books right now. We don't
right.
Have any further. Now, the other thing that was really good, I did settle with the hotel here in town. I was amazed because I started looking at stuff, and I don't know if I need to get all the building permits or what, but there was some stuff there that I didn't know that was there, so I jumped the assessment way up, sent a notice. They got back in touch with me and said, well, yeah, it is worth that. We want you to use the equalization rate to bring it down. So I did. But I think right now, at full value, the rate around just a hair under 7 million. So, which is good because, you know, that's one place you do not only have to fight the assessment because obviously it would cost everybody an arm and a leg. The appraisal on a loan probably costs $10,000 to $15,000. So, the rest of the properties, I don't really see anything that's that.
It's stay out there.
The only other thing that gives me some anxious points. There are all these little bases that got 4 and 5 and 8 spots where the RV can pull up and hook in. It's so hard to value this because, I imagine there's no revenue on the books that most of us probably cash.
Right.
So, I mean, I may just come up with a flat value per site that I add to it. I've had some experience with those different properties, but then you got a couple of places where people just park cars and have charged down the lake to park your cars. Not a whole lot I can do about those. Stay in the land and you do what they can do with it. The only couple of problems, maybe a few properties that can't get to, or I can't get to, without, finding a drone or something to detect where they are. I may have to resolve some of those with either some of the current information or with the property.
If I back up to the reval thing, you mentioned that we'll have to pass a resolution. When would you need that? You talking spring, right?
February. I would get by your next meeting. Have a resolution passed it because the state's gonna want to see it. They're gonna probably send you a letter, memorandum of understanding what my responsibilities are, what your responsibilities are, and what theirs are. And they probably won't send that out until they know that you're serious about doing something.
Okay.
I already sent them the utilities, which is one of the first things because they had to be in before the 1st of August. So that if they give us any Niagara Mohawk properties, then they're in the right of ways all that they put the numbers on those. I don't have
okay. So I'll have to be in touch with you to find out wording and such, or will they contact me?
I can put you in touch with my liaison at the state, and she can give you maybe if there might even be a form that she has where
okay.
you can sign on to it.
Perfect. And back to the tailwater. Is each segment of their building projects under a pilot?
Not that I know of.
So they, it is. I'm looking at Aaron behind you. Okay. Because I wondered, I can understand their first section was a pilot, so they got to pay that. But then if their other sections aren't, are they subject to the full tax
value? The first section was a 10-year pilot. The second two were 30-year pilot.
Okay. Okay. That answers that. Any other questions for Mike?
Yes, I do. I don't know. Maybe you can explain this, Mike. I was looking at the add-on website the other day on the county property. I didn't look at the tentative roll, but I did look at the roll I had, some of the roll I had in hand here that was put on the roll after July 1st, which means you went through the process of the stipulations and the grievances. And then you come up with a permanent roll for 2020, right? And what I see here, because you used to be 90%, and state heat grade dropped to 83%, you have raised, to keep the taxable amount to property, the same amount that you used to call the assessed value, which was 90%, which is the taxable value, to keep that at 90%, you have raised the full market value. That's what you've done.
I haven't done anything.
Huh?
The state set the equalization rate.
State's done that.
The state sets the equalization rate at 83%. I don't.
Who sets the full market value?
The state sets the equalization rate, which then in turn drives.
I can't hear you. Excuse me.
The state sets the equalization rate.
So they said I'm not talking about
83%. And when that's divided or multiplied into the assessment, that's where the full market value comes from.
All right. No, I'm not confused there. But what I'm saying is you got $150,000 piece of property. It was assessed. Taxable amount, you call it assessed value, was 90%. So you taxed $135,000.
which 90%, 135,000, 90% of 150,000. All right? Now this year, to maintain the same 135,000, the full market value has been raised to 162,651. Without any previous board hearing or nothing.
Okay.
And that's required by law.
What's required?
That you mail out anytime you raise or lower, anytime you change anybody's assessment.
I didn't change anybody's assessment. I didn't change anybody's assessment.
You didn't change assessment. Well, how come is it?
This equalization rate has changed
from
equalization rate changes the assessments because the state comes in and says you were at 90. Now, as the sales continue to go way above the assessments, they keep dropping them. And that affects what the full market value is. That's not, I don't have to notify anybody about that.
That's why we didn't have nobody agreements, because nobody knew that their market value got raised.
That's not any. Would it show up kind of wrong?
I'm gonna look into it further because I think you're wrong. Like anytime you change
screen. Sandy Creek did the same thing. Look at Sandy Creek.
That's the reason that the town has to do a reval, is because those numbers keep changing because of the fact that the equalization rate keeps plummeting. But there's nothing anybody else can do. The state's saying that the property values have gone up another 7%, so therefore the equalization rate dropped. But the property that was worth 150 is now worth 7% more. That's all it's doing. That comes on every community and every county in the state where they got equalization rates. I just said properties in Seattle.
So when the equalization rate goes down,
the equalization rate dropped 10%. We didn't know any of them about.
You're saying when the equalization rate goes down, they raise the market value.
Correct.
Huh?
Yes.
I'll check that out. I remember that. That's an easy one to compare. That don't make sense to me.
The residential assessment.
I thought you'd take care of that next year when you've done the actual reval. This is not a reval. This is just swapping 90% taxable with 83% taxable.
Yeah, but when it went from 100 to 90, we didn't send out notices.
Excuse me?
When it went from 100 to 90, we didn't send out notices either. As the equalization rate drops, you don't notify everybody that only it is stated that the equalization rate has dropped, but nobody's notified. That's up to the property owner's discretion to look it up themselves. That's nothing that we have to notify them about.
You don't have to notify them when there's a change in their assessed value.
Okay, but proportionally, they're also in the same ratios.
Well, I think there's a difference between assessed value and market value.
Right.
Well, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, what happens is within the county level, if you drop 7%, you pick up 7% more of the county tax. But then again, if all the other towns in the county are seeing the same increase, then you're not picking up that much more. Right. Yeah. Your share of pie becomes bigger each time that equalization rate drops.
So I think what Carl is saying is the market value prices went way up because of the equalization rate going down.
Right. But now, probably justified when they sold, because the majority of the properties that are selling right now are selling 25 to 40% over the assessment to begin with.
Sure.
And they only just talked about 85,000, somebody assessed at 50.
But you didn't have anything to do with that.
No, it's the equalization rate set by the state of New York.
And who would do that then? The state of New York or Soto County Real Property?
State of New York does it.
You get a letter from the state. You guys will get a letter from the state every year saying what your new equalization rate is.
Yeah, the equalization rate, but that's market value.
That's what drives it.
Who sets that?
That is, it's multiplied by the equalization rate, or divided, actually.
Right.
Okay, so when the equalization rate goes down, your market value goes up.
Correct.
Yep.
So in all essence, what Carl was saying, the sending out notices, that's not for the, that's only for the assessed value,
right.
Not for the market value.
Right.
Because they're doing that automatically, correct?
Right.
On their, like you just mentioned, dividing that 17%
The only reason the equalization rate is even given is because if everybody was in the same tax levy group, they wouldn't have to do it. But when you have one town or one part of the county's assessments are way below what they should be, and the others are way right where they should be, they try to equalize them out. And that's the only way to equalize them out by doing these equalization rates. So, I mean, it would be a perfect world if everybody was at 100. Or, I mean, it would be a perfect world if everybody was at 50. But I mean, when there's one in 100, one's at, I mean, I can give you the county readout in each of the towns are at different percentages across the board. By using the equalization, we're trying to get everybody a level playing field. So $100,000 house in each of the communities is paying the same county and town taxes, or county taxes, your town's different. County taxes, they are in the other one. So.
And you say you haven't seen it on there? You didn't put it on there, haven't seen it? But was the tentative roll the same that was done in...
Tentative roll would have showed 83% because we had to file...
We still had 83% for the tentative roll, so...
Yeah.
So was the tentative roll the same other than the changes made by the review board or your dealings or stipulation with the Tailwater Lodge?
Yeah. And we only had, I think... one or two grievances and
three
stipulations. And even in, to be really honest with you, the grievance that we had.
That had nothing to do with increasing.
I increased that one because the property was assessed at nothing.
Yeah, that was because he bought additional acres adding to the property.
And they paid $160,000 for it back 7 or 8 years ago, and the assessment was in the 80s. Why, I don't know. And I brought them up to 125, the didn't even like that. They wanted it.
But they received
the lord in the back down some.
They received the mailer.
Excuse me?
They received the mailer from you.
Yes.
According to them.
Yeah.
Because their assessment went up.
Right, but there was no way that it shouldn't have went up. But that's neither here nor there. That's another matter. I mean, those are the kind of things you're going to run into next year because some of these people that are paying X, when they see what the taxes are in X, they're not going to be happy camping.
Are you saying there's no full market value could come back down then? As you get through with your real rebound?
If the properties continue increasing in value as they have been over the last 3 or 4 years.
I understand, but is there a possibility?
If the equalization rate goes up, the full market value comes down.
Right.
So if we go up to 100 for equalization, you're dividing the number of your assessed value by one, which is equal. So they're the same 100. That's what 100% equalization is. So the assessed value and the market value are exactly the same.
Yeah, if it was assessed,
so
if we were 100% of the market value, our taxable value would be 100%.
Yes.
Right?
So what the city is saying when they set the equalization rate is that across the board, their data is telling them that our properties are valued 17% less than what they're actually for. That's what they're telling me.
I know, because of the fishing so far.
It's because people are spending more money on houses.
Yeah,
100%. Actually, it's not just a fishing.
It's not just a fishing.
No.
I mean, there's a lot of year-round houses that are selling. I mean, actually, I was going over with a couple of the VAR members the other night, and we were talking, the property that came in owns land. And I said, if you want to see sales of properties that have 10, 20, 30, 40 acres, sales are pretty cycling right now. I mean, some of that's been caused by the Amish, some of it has not been caused by the Amish. A lot of it's, people waiting people from coming in, but a lot of it's even your local people that live here buying one property or another. I mean, when I first came here, I don't think I saw hardly any sales over 150,000. I think I got 10 or 12 sales over 250,000.
But you didn't prepare the tentative roll?
Whatever assessments I changed, I put on the tentative roll, and that was what was filed.
And so you didn't mail?
The state sent us a notice saying your equalization rate is 83%, and
we're
going to fight this, this such and such day, this night. Wasn't I going to fight because I know that there is
something wrong there. What I'm trying to get at is tentative roll. It comes out
May 1st.
You're done assessing
after the February, the last day of February. March 1st is taxable status day. So after that, you prepare a tentative roll. Somebody does. I thought it was you. And any of the properties that go market value changes, you're required by law to send the landowner a notice.
Any of the properties assessed value changes, I'm required by law to notify. Any of the assessments that have been changed, I'm required by law to notify them. Not the market value. Assessed value. Not the market value. If I changed their assessment, I'm required by law to notify them.
I'm not going to debate it anymore, but now we're toying with words. Assessed value, market value. When you hire an engineer to assess the damage or something, that's what he's going
to. I would have to send out 1,600. That's what that terminology is.
Maybe it's just as simple as market value is established by sales, and what the assessor perceives the value of the property to be based on historical sales. In front of that figure, he takes an assessed value. He says, well, they're selling for 150. This one sold for 150, but the last six sold for 140. So maybe it's 150.
Well, he's not taking up for
140.
But
the state gives you the E rate to tell us how much you missed by.
So not blaming him, but if the assess any time, if they're not keeping up with the present sales, then the equator drops.
You really can't.
You can't. You just can't win the sales. Sales.
No, but can you raise
the issue
market value?
Carl, if Mike paid $200,000 for his property and I put his assessment at $200,000 and the equalization rate was 83, his full market value would be way over what he paid for the property, so it wouldn't be fair to him. So you can't just go in and start raising the assessments on the sales. You have to raise the assessments on everything. And it's either similar or like properties. You can't raise just one aspect of the town. That's not being fair. They're going to be paying way over what they should be in property. The only way really to do a fair judgment is to do everybody at the same time. So if you raise everybody just raise at the same time, your tax rates would drop a little bit because of that, and everybody's at a fair level at that point. Can't just raise ones itself.
I thought that's what we were doing. This is the full town. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I'll check it out.
Mike, I'll get you. I think it's Devon's email address. I'll send it to you about the resolution that you have to pass on. Send it out to you sometime tomorrow or the next day.
Okay.
I think they have a form to sign or something, just saying that. And they will send you on a paper saying this is what they're doing, this is what I'm doing, this is what they're required to do.
Okay.
So everybody kind of understands where they're.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, Vern.
Okay, for the month of June, I had 10 permit renewals, new permits. I had 3 residential, 3 pole barns, 2 utility structures, took in a total of $945 in permit fees. I issued 3 certificates of compliance. I had 1 permit that was voided because they decided not to do the project. Our Dollar General is doing very well, moving along. And the cell tower, the foundation's in, and they're in preparation to start stringing steel.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what they got done today, but.
Any questions for Vern?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Vern. Justice Allen.
Wait. Requires the court. It's requires the court. Things are not
You can see where we're spread out. That's our whole situation, blue lines, everything is set. We've been given approval to open the court as of last Friday. But we have the directive, the local court should not be scheduling in-person appearances on a lot of certain things. They just don't want it to happen yet. They want to try to do it by virtual, Skype, anything other than in-person. But there are still people that want to come to court. But they're frowning on it as much as they can. They want you to try to do everything you possibly can by mail. Even with the attorneys, they want phone calls, mail, try to get everything. The only court appearance they want is when they're, you're sentencing the individual. And they really don't want you to send them to jail or anything else. They almost like they want you to slap them on the hands and release them. But,
can you do all the preliminary stuff by mail and then do an actual court date where you sentence them? Is that that's what they want you to do?
Basically,
so that extends everything out even longer.
Well, what we're trying to do is we're getting cases in now because the cap court is not working quite well, I guess. I have no idea, but they just turn around and send all the records here and say, okay, you handle it. Well, we got to find out who the attorneys are. And some of the new things is we can do the arraignments now is coming from the police officers, direct bypassing cap. So things are changing on a day-to-day thing.
Right.
It's kind of hard to keep up with it, and I gave you the latest of what we've got. So other than that, we sent out a few fine letters is what we're getting, but we still have court dates. We've got them set for the 20th of this month. But we got a directive today say no court, no in-person court. So which way we're going to go, we don't know, but they're scheduled to come in, and I'm going to be here, and we have certain things we have to do if people show up. The mask, the thermometer that we had that I purchased, see the floor, everything is 6 foot spacing. My clerk and myself are 8 foot apart, but everybody's got to wear a mask, and she wants gloves, which I will pick up to have for next week. So, the other thing is, and you know, we have Betty is going to sit back here at this little table.
Yep.
And everybody that comes in is going to get in with a monitor so we know what's going on. And we're going to be given a mask full of 10 people, unless husband and wife come in, and then it can go 11. Other than that, we're holding it like 10 people. When somebody's done, the next person comes in if somebody's out waiting in the parking lot. So,
you got a plan.
No, we got to. I have to keep records of everybody who comes in here because if we have to trace anybody,
yep,
literally, you got to know who was here.
I have to do the same thing at the shop. Every person that comes in, they either have make an appointment so I have their info, or if they walk in, I need their name and phone number in case of that.
If their temperature is higher, then they tell us 100.4.
Yep.
Anything above that, they can't even be allowed in.
Right.
But if it's okay, and then we find out later they got COVID, then that's when they want to know who they've been contacted within this area. So
exactly.
But those are the things that, and I said something to you, and I don't know, maybe Rick, to, hey, Betty,
yep.
I asked to, because we haven't had any training and stuff, I have the full budget as far as the training, which is about $1,300. I would like to ask if the board would consider moving some of that money to another line item to pay her because she's just going to monitor this twice a month from 4 to 8.
That's a question we had, buddy, and the judge suggested that we pay Mrs. Smith, and I don't know who that is, but that would be out of court training preparation. That would be to do the thermometer.
Right.
Betty wouldn't be doing that part.
Yeah, Betty would be doing it.
Betty is Mrs. Smith.
Mrs. Smith. Betty is Mrs. Smith.
Yes. All right. Sorry.
Used to be Betty Barker, now right. It's Betty Smith.
All right, sure. She could do that and do the all necessary cleaning as well.
Right. But, I mean, I don't know what would it be considered basically just another function for her, same amount of money that she gets for everything else, and but just to take it out.
Right, we'd have to make a resolution to take it from that particular.
If you get
before I got the agenda, when I was down to look at the bills yesterday, I looked at a big outside your window, so you're going to be a big thermometer.
No, this isn't one of those handhelds. You got to be like a foot away and you hit them. And it gives it, I got it from down the kitty. Well, so she's going to be having 4 hours each court night. I'll let her keep, because if we don't have no business at 7 o'clock, she can go with three. But if we're doing something else, it may go to 8 o'clock, but we have no idea. It's a kind of a wait and see how we play out a couple of months here until things get back into the swing of things. So I have no idea. I'm putting it from 4 to 8, so that way I know it's going to cover. And if it's 4 to 7:30, then whatever. But then we can talk at budget time, maybe another line number or whatever. If this continues,
right.
We have no idea if it's going to continue
exactly
next year or after the election, COVID is going away. You know,
you won't pay her down until we open up, right?
Well, I've got people scheduled to come here on the 20th.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I got tickets in there that says 7:20, 5 o'clock.
I suggest that she use one of those, her timesheet, and have it separate just for court to keep that. So when she's up.
Well, which is good. However we can figure her hours so that way it's.
Thank you, Amy, for saying that, because I just had a thought. We can, if she is okay with it, we could. I think we all hope that this doesn't go on forever.
There you go.
But we could have her keep track of her time at least till the end of the year, the budget year, and then we could write the resolution to pay her for that money that's specifically for the court out of that training fee. I don't know if you'd go
longer. Well, do you want to wait? Would you want to wait 4 or 5 months to get paid?
True.
For doing the job?
Good point. Just a thought. Aaron.
You could pay her on a 1640.1, which is your building maintenance.
Right.
You got money in it already.
Yep.
If you run out of money, you can appropriate it out of the training.
Okay.
But you do have an account there, or you can have a line item 1640.12, and it could be court. You can add one additional number to the end of that code, add a line item to the budget, and pay her out.
We could do that.
Same thing. Right out of the training.
Yes. You could do it. And transfer his training monies into the same thing. Keep it right in the Justice Court file.
Right.
Right in there.
Okay.
It's not a big deal.
Okay.
It's really not a big deal.
Okay. I'll talk.
How are you going to pay her on 1640.1 because she's going to be coming over? You can shuffle around how you want to do it.
That way we can keep track of what it costs.
Okay.
If we put it in there.
So you're saying I've got the 11-10-47, which is my training. You're going to pay her out of the building. Then at the end of the year, you can say, okay, she did this amount of hours, this amount of pay, and then you can take it out of the 11-10-47.
Yep.
And put it back.
Correct.
It's all just like taking out of the pocket on the right and putting it in the left.
Yep.
Just make a transfer, make a resolution.
Thank you, Aaron.
And then if it's going to continue, we can make another line item, like judge, clerk, and put her down there, and the budget when we talk about it at budget time.
Right.
If it's going to continue.
Nobody
seems to know.
Cool, thank you.
It's like anything else.
I have a question for you, Judge, and I know we briefly talked about it, but maybe you can explain it to the other folks here. I talked to Rebecca about the Bubis property and her take on it. And she was going to talk to you. I don't think she has yet, but she's planning to. She feels that we should proceed in Supreme Court because you don't have the...
I don't have the authority.
The authority to do it.
Property.
To have him, have the town, the county, whoever, clean up his property and assess it on his taxes. And then that's his problem at that point.
Yeah.
But it's been in October, it'll have been 2 years.
I think it's a good idea.
Well, I think we ought to proceed, but do you want to try to see if you can get it out of the town's hands instead of say there's animosities or this or that and see if we could get the county to do it? So the county doesn't care, but if we try to do it, you know, Gary and his wife are going to say, yeah, you people are all against us and this and that, you know, and then they're going to have animosities against the people of the town, the truckers, everything.
Right.
And they're only doing their job. If we could get the county to do it, it'd be a heck of a lot better.
Right.
Or
the status of their property taxes. Because the county takes deed. The county.
They're paying.
You know, whatever we're out of.
The counties are the ones that have to do that.
Right. But we could also maybe put it out for a bid to see who could do it. Bob Coffin does it a lot.
Yep.
Tears houses down, does that, cleans things up, throws some gravel into it, and he dresses it up nice.
Well, when it comes down to it, we got to keep track of what out of it costs, plus all yes. the town taxpayers' legal
Absolutely.
Expenses as well.
So, okay. So that's, you can't, your hands are tied basically
My
at this point.
I can't issue that type of order. That's got to be Supreme Court.
Okay. She's going to take care of that.
Yep.
All right. Now I got another little caveat here. The court has sent or has allowed, there's a certain amount of monies allowed each court for extended expenses. So we need to keep track of, like, the town is paying for this thermometer to me because I went down and grabbed it.
Right.
But there's ways to recoup the monies. There would be no different than recouping the money or like Betty because of the fact it's over and above something that was just mandated that nobody had in their budget over the last year.
Right. Maybe just answer my question.
Yeah.
Can we recoup the money from the attorney for the court on the Boobs property?
Yeah. Well,
I don't
included.
Think you could do that. That was a pending case, Carl. I don't think we can do it under this stipulation.
I mean, right. Going through Supreme Court, though.
Yep.
With the lawyer, all your expenses. Cost money. So we can add that on to the tearing it down.
But it's no different than the town employees, their wages plus benefits, plus the truck, fuel, time, all these things.
Yeah.
Because they're not doing town functions. You can say, okay, even the insurance say, hey, look, we're doing certain things that are over and above. But you ask something for our attorney to address.
Yep.
All these things need to be applied to the Supreme Court order.
Let's move ahead. But I would make a motion to move ahead.
Okay. All right. All in favor to move ahead with that discussion we just had? Aye.
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 It's got to be on. It's trying to lean down long enough now.
Okay. I'll tell Rebecca to move ahead with that ASAP. Any other questions for Judge Allen?
Okay. Find out who's the best Supreme Court judge. There's three of them out there.
Okay, fire department. I've got a report and a quarterly report. The monthly report, June 2020, there were 15 calls. Total contract for, well, I don't have to do that, you know. Beginning June 2020, check register balance was $66,365.51. Monthly expenses for June 2020 were $1,904.59. Checking balance moved to July $64,460.92. The quarterly financial review, for the quarter, April, May, June 2020, deposited $98,200 business checking, deposited $10,000 in truck replacement. Operating expenses for April were $1,584.41. For May was $24,615.22. For June was $1,904.59. So the beginning balance in January of 2020 was $1,066.62. They deposited a checking from the contract, $98,200. The beginning April 2020 check register balance was $93,015.95. Total quarterly expenses, $28,104.22. Balance moved forward to July 2020, $64,460.92. And the calls for the quarter, April, there were 5 calls. May, there were 23 calls. June, there were 15 calls. Bill is here. Do you have any questions for him? I have a couple of comments related. Okay. I have again talked to Rebecca about the the 99-year lease for the thing that we call Shepherd's Pond, where the fire department uses it for water. And she will draft a lease that the board, town board will sign, and it will also state that it's in the town's best interest to keep that property and provide the water lease to the fire department. Because since we don't have town water, they need an easy access place where they can get water. That's it. So that I've talked to her about that, and she will take care of it. The other thing
is a gift, man. Town could give it to the fire company.
Yep, you could.
You don't want it?
We take anything you give away.
We can consider.
I looked at the property this spring and I thought it was a fire company.
Tom can't give away anything. Mm-hmm. Tom cannot gift anything.
Okay. Well, about a dollar.
You have to put it out for bid. You have to sell it in the open market. You have to advertise it. And just give it to someone.
Yeah, and then somebody come in and undercut, and yeah, we might better just do what we're just talking.
I think the lease is probably the easiest.
Sounds like
the most realistic.
The other thing that I had talked to her at length, I wanted to talk to Vern a little bit about this, but that's all right, I can talk to him later, was the subdivisions, the Maple Landing in particular, but also the Salmon Run, that it's called. She does not feel that it's necessary to send letters to the landowners because they know, based on the permit application process, that those are not four-season places. The town has never and will never do road work on those private roads. Therefore, the town is not liable for any problems that they have. She did say that it's probably a good idea to post a sign similar to what they did have at the end of Maple Landing. Another one at the end of Salmon Run saying, you know, this is not a town maintained road, proceed at your own risk type of thing. And I know Vern had one of those signs previously and someone took it down. So he may know, you know, the best way to go about getting that sign, and then we can have it installed in cement and hopefully not have it removed again. But we may be up against that. Who knows what people are going to do. So we will not be liable because we never have and never will do work on the road. So they know going in. She said she's really surprised that those people back in there can get insurance because that should be well known that they are on an unmaintained road. And, you know, there's no way that we're going to be able to get to them. But that's their problem, not ours at this point. Okay.
Are we still planning on utilizing the previous plans for the disillusionment of the road in regards to the river?
Well, that's where I got the info on the lease that was coming up. Yeah. And there are probably, I haven't read the whole thing yet, but I do have a copy of it. I'm about halfway through right now.
But we are planning on utilizing what the moment before.
Well, that was agreed to back in 2013. So it makes sense that
we are. Just a point, it was agreed to by the village, not by the town.
I don't want to get involved.
Now we do.
Excuse me? Okay, I see what you're saying.
The dissolution?
There's nothing in the dissolution plan that says the town is obligated to follow it. It's a plan.
It's voted on, approved plan by the village.
Yep, the village no longer exists.
This could be a sticky point then, eh? Because I've been in contact with... Paul might be able to help me out. I can't think of her name right now from the Tug Hill Commission. Erla. She gave me quite a bit of information on what was the plan. So that's kind of what I've been moving forward with. I guess I didn't realize the difference between the town and the village. So I don't know.
On that board, though, we had any kind of board number, right?
Carl,
right? And I don't know where we sit on
maybe you and Bill can clear me up on this. Mr. Shepherd's Pond brought up a good point, and I remember buying tires for one of the trucks. Do we do that because we own them, or do we do that for you guys, or how does that actually work, I guess?
Well, if you read the dissolution plan that was voted on by the village taxpayers in 2013, you'll see that the 99-year lease on Shepherd's Pond was part of that, and also that the fire trucks, when paid off, would be turned over to the new fire department.
Okay.
I've had this discussion with Aaron a few times, and it was an issue with the town attorney or whatever at the time. But now we have a copy of the dissolution that was approved by the taxpayers. And, you know, I wasn't in favor of the dissolution, but town taxpayers didn't get a vote on it. It was shoved down their throats.
Right.
And that's the way the vote went.
The property became the property of the town.
Now, if you read that dissolution, so to go back to your specific point of the 2500, that's specifically covered in the equipment lease that the town has with the fire department. So the town board said, yep, we have an equipment lease that we sign once every 5 years or once every 5 years. So the equipment lease that says we will take care of any major maintenance over X number of dollars. And we'll take care of that, the fire department takes care of us. So that was a town motion and a town contract. It didn't rely solely on something that the town didn't have control of. That's all I'm pointing out. I think everything that you do, just like this 99-year lease, should be brought in front of the town board, made a motion or not, and agreed to, so that the agreement is with the town who's in the position.
I thought it was we paid any fire truck that the town owned, but now the town, the old rescue, they got rid of that. They got rid of, well, it's not that expensive to the town. Then they got a new fire department truck for the
right.
We don't pay for them anymore.
That's not part of that lease.
Right. And we don't pay. We had any more trucks on there. It was the town owns
one.
Right now, the pond is deeded to the village of Bellhorn. The only thing was.
Yeah, it's owned.
Yeah. I mean,
because the village
is owned, but, you know, because they're gone. But.
Because the village dissolved, all the property of the village became property of the town. So, although it might say village, it's assumed town because we got everything.
Yep, and I did talk to Rebecca about that, and that is fact. We own them. There's no, you know, if you want to transfer the deeds to, say, Town of Albion, we can, but it is known that the town owns them because there is no more village. The town got the properties. Now back to the fire truck. Other than
fire truck was a 5-year lease and fire contract, and they used town trucks. And like Aaron and I, he knows more about the repair and upkeep and so forth on them. But they had, after that, they could buy their own truck.
They have them.
They buy their own truck.
They bought three.
And
they bought three since.
They started four out, they're out of that lease.
What
lease on the 5-year use of them.
What's the repair lease then? Was that just on one truck?
Or there was more trucks in it. There was a heavy rescue. We just sold
back then. Okay. So the only thing that we have left is the lease on is the one truck, the rest of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got the pumper tank.
But the town doesn't own that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The one out here?
Yes.
But that's not the one that you. Oh, okay, that you were talking about. Okay. So the two.
Yeah, it was two. They don't. He's not considering this one active because they don't use it. For the most part.
So when the fire company don't want it anymore, we have to figure out a way to dispose of it.
Well, he asked that it be kept here in case they need it. But we're going to use it as a highway watering truck. We'll do it all, whatever.
In case like a grass fire.
You know, grass fires in places like Gabriel Landing where you know, if you rip the mirror off, it's not the end of the world.
Especially Cape of Town, you wouldn't get much further.
And it's yours anyway.
Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm not trying to be online, but Rick's got a copy of that, you've got a copy of it. And just explain to me, when you read that paragraph, what I'm missing.
What paragraph?
Well, when the last two fire trucks that were under village lease agreement were paid off, they were to become property of the new fire department. That's in black and white in that thing.
Right.
You got
it. I agree. I read that. I remember reading that. So what's the question?
The question is, why isn't it?
Is it going to be turned over to the fire department, or is the town going to take it over? And I think
the town has taken it over.
Yeah, I think what needs to be done. I don't know what it is or what, but like Aaron said, it's a town board decision.
And going back to just the legality of it, the town or the village can't give something away. If it has value, there's rules to dispose of it. You can't just say, okay, we'll give it to you guys.
So basically what you're saying, Aaron, is the dissolution agreement we have, it was put together by Doug Hill in the state of New York. Mm-hmm. Defies all laws.
My opinion is yes. And well, feel free to call a lawyer. But I know that a town can't give anything away. I know that the village can't give anything away. There's procurement laws, there's disposal laws, all sorts, it doesn't matter.
My question is, does the disillusionment override that?
Right. That would be my question.
I'm sure there's a caveat in there somewhere that says if this is supersedes or sidesteps any laws, the law prevails. Every legal document.
Can you look into that?
Yep.
And before we made a decision, can we get copies for the rest of the board members?
Of the dissolution agreement?
Yeah.
Yep. It's, yeah.
It's quite lengthy.
Yes, it is. Okay. Good questions. I didn't know. Right.
I know the rest of it's right here in black and white. So
exactly.
What do you go by?
Right. We'll find out.
What's a used fire truck?
How much?
I mean, if they need it, you'd always sell it for a dollar.
On the street. Right.
It was a brand new thing. Nobody knows.
Okay, I got the NOPA's report here. I know Stephanie's was here. I don't know if she has left us or not. Nope, she's still there. But I will read the report, and if she has anything to add, she can chime in. This is a NOCA report, 7/13/20. Town starting to bring in loads of dirt for next door. Okay to have driveway done, $3,025. Rachel is doing more things to cover for the personal care. Has binder of the rules and regs. They have stopped the PPP loans, not needed. Budget has $86,000 in loss. Health insurance has been renewed. MVP, I think it says $104 per month per staff person. Rich Canal awaiting okay to join board. Norm doing great deal of overtime, pay out of pocket for Zoom meeting, reimburse him. Anything to add to that, Stephanie? I'm guessing she doesn't. I think she's still there. Okay, so we can move on to the town clerk report.
For the month of June total taken in this first was $1,312.50. The town received $1,297.50. New York State Department of Ag Market received $15. I issued 13 licenses, 9 renewals, and 4 original. 4 certified copies of marriage. Sent out 17 dog licenses renewals for July, 20 late dog licenses for June, which came until 14th today. And then canceled 4 dog licenses. The owner said they are all deceased. 10 to 24 building permits, and petty cash is at $25 until June 30th.
Any questions for Amy? Comments? Can I have a motion to accept her report?
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Amy. Supervisor's report. Receipts, general money market. Interest was $261.44. Justice fees and fines for May was $799. Clerk fees, $10. Building and junkyard permits, $620. Other compensation for loss, $476.19. Dog licenses, $22.50. 2020 pilot from the Tailwater Lodge, $11,120. And county mortgage tax, $8,835.81, for a total of $22,144.94. Highway money market, we had interest of $20.19. Those are only income. Disbursements out of the general money market, we had biweekly payroll number 12, $3,294.27. Biweekly payroll number 13, $3,568.64. Biweekly payroll number 14, $3,146.93. Abstract number 6, $13,359.80. And general pay number 6, $7,185.22, for a total of $30,554.86. In the highway money market, we had abstract number 6 as $2,463.30. Highway biweekly payroll number 12, $55,55.97. Highway biweekly payroll number 13, $56,56.09. Highway biweekly payroll number 14, $5,822.97, for a total of $19,498.33. Account balances as of June 30th, 2020. General money market, $1,583,192.32. General checking, $32,658.32. Highway money market, $236,001.48. Highway checking, $36,314.41. Trust and agency, $42,971.48. And cemetery, $159,856.37. For a total of $2,090,994.38.
I didn't have that much money in the world.
We're looking together right here. So, have a motion to accept.
I'll make the motion to accept.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. On to the general bills. Questions, comments?
194, Richard Krenzer.
Yep.
$430.
Yes. You're right. I did not catch that.
You said something about getting information to the cemetery to pass along to let them out. We don't have for the tax
exempt. Yes, you or
friend. Yeah.
Get the number or whatever.
I will.
That's the only one that I had questions on.
Okay. I will take care of that. I'm sure he didn't know that, and I didn't pass it on. I didn't catch it when I was going through. Usually go through them pretty tight.
So that's just, the tax was $32, correct?
Correct.
$400. I have a couple of mine.
Okay.
Number one is, if you're going writing, it's like 178. Yeah, Deaton's Home Center. Who's authorized to pick up stuff there to apply bills? Yes. We'll do this twice.
Yep.
So,
well, yeah, they have to let them know if it's for the cemetery or for the highway.
At Deaton's, they sign, whoever buys whatever they need, they sign for it. And it comes to us. So,
Jesse, Corey from the cemetery.
Yep.
They can go down and purchase at Deaton's.
Yep.
On the list.
Yep.
Okay. And bill number 189. What's this? Because I just don't know what's the Wix Bank. What's that? What is that?
It's a credit card for gas.
Okay. Never heard of Wix before. And yeah. 190. Already got the answer to that. It's monitor. 193. The air conditioner.
Yep.
Is that for Ted's office?
Nope, for the break room.
The break room?
Yep.
Oh, up at the town barn?
Yes.
Room. Okay. The, okay, and the other one question is, and that's a general question. Why do we, are we spending so many hours up to the cemetery during, you know, if the grass is burned up, nobody's going to be able to do any more. And yet, in the month of June, starting June 25th through the 29th, they spent 53 hours mowing, 2 hours for a burial. That's Jesse. And then Lori Jackson was 30 hours mowing and 7 at the municipal building, where Jesse was 14 hours at the municipal building. What are we doing in the cemetery and the municipal building besides mowing? It would take that many hours with a writing mower here. And when the grass, I think, is pretty much dead at the cemetery.
Oh, I know they're still weeding a lot. The weeds still grow, so.
Yeah, no, they're tough.
I don't know. I can't answer that. I can check with Brenda.
Yeah.
See what she has to say.
I think she needs to check with them. That's a lot of time with nothing going.
I do know that they had to come in, which isn't on this time card, but they had to respond Sunday because after that deluge we had Saturday night, there was some damage to some graves, so they had to come in and fix those.
Understand that.
But that was relatively minimal.
I guess that depends on the board. Weed every 4 or 5 feet, if you want to go up there, weed and trim it. I don't know. I know I had a lot of them last week, 2 weeks.
Right.
I spinners, you know, 5-6 feet apart, stand up like this.
Yep.
But I'm not going to mow the whole lawn to get down.
Well, I'll check on that.
Okay.
Okay, any, we already did the general bills. How about the highway bills? Any questions or comments?
Motion to accept the general.
We did that, didn't we?
No.
Okay. A motion to accept the general bills.
With
the
removing of the tax. Yep. Second. All in favor? Aye. Okay, how about the highway bills?
I make that move.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Old business. I have forwarded you and given Carl a copy of the roof bids. I would like to make a decision on this so we can move forward. I got the updated amended bids from Schaefer. Hopefully you have had time to review them. In my opinion, it probably makes the most sense to go with the 30-year warranty with the 0.080 TPO.
That's the latest one.
Yeah, we actually got two, one with the 30-year warranty and one with 1.5 inches of insulation. And what was the other difference? Oh, using the EPDM instead of the TPO. Nope, I'm wrong. It's the thinner TPO on that one, 0.060. So
money in the two, Mike.
About $5,000 difference. And that's also a thicker TPO. And what was the other thing? Yeah, a 30-year up to the... Correct, 10 more years on the warranty. Now, I did talk to Patrick pretty in detail about the workmanship. You were concerned about that. He was pretty adamant that the industry standard is 1 year. He's given us 2 years. He said that the manufacturer's warranty will cover beyond that. There won't be a workmanship issue after 2 years, he said that. Yeah, he was pretty adamant.
And over and over again, is the manufacturer going to send an inspector?
Yes.
To make the final inspection.
Yes.
And it said that.
Yes.
So I assume then that hopefully the manufacturer is going to stand behind the whole thing.
Right. Now, I had included Aaron. He wanted to know who the manufacturer was, and it's Johns Manville.
One of the top three.
Okay.
John Manville and Firestone.
John Manville.
Okay, so I'd like to make a decision so I can start working on that AIA contract between Aaron and myself and our insurance, Kristen. She'll help us to make sure that we're covered on all aspects.
We have the choice. I mean, we have the best bid, less money, and the best money, and I think they probably have a good reputation.
Yep.
And he writes up a good resume. I'd make a motion go on.
There's a motion to accept the thicker TPO and 30-year warranty. And then we want to include barging the chimney, I assume, for that small $365. So go with the full amount. Can I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Sorry?
I need a copy of this.
Okay, I will get it for you. Okay, bringing you up to date on the retirement system. I have been working and it is up to date except for the refund due. I have talked to Rebecca. She would like me to draft a letter that she will approve to send out with those refunds, basically telling people that they have the option of purchasing their time back if they want to within that retirement system. I've talked to the lady at the retirement system. She agrees. She said that's the best way to handle it, and there should be no problems because the money was never went anywhere. It just sat in our trust and agency account. So once I refund that, everybody's back on board. There shouldn't be any problem. continuing. So that is where we stand. If you, once I have that approval from Rebecca on the letter that I'm drafting, I will go ahead and send out those refunds. Is that?
I
know.
You capitalized my name and everything.
Well, believe it or not, I think it went back before Aaron, too. So a couple of predecessors there were guilty of it. But that's okay. We found it, and we're heading in the right direction. It really is. Glider is in the process of the tank switches. They've already done it here. Probably everybody saw it. I will talk to George. He's going to bring up those Jersey barriers. I called Marabito today. They will be up within the next 2 weeks to pick up their tanks. And Tracy, that I've been in touch with, she said, please give me the chance to rebid next time around. And I said, oh, we absolutely will. We don't have any complaints with Marabito. Glider beat you.
Yeah, you do it every year.
Exactly. We did run into, I think, but hopefully everybody got the copy of what we ran into at the highway barn. The generator ended up being bigger than George had thought it was, and it does require the 500-gallon torpedo. The text that came to I just stopped in there randomly because I knew they were going to be there doing it, and I pulled in and introduced myself. He said, thank God you're here. He goes, we got to do something different.
I didn't see it as an issue. It was a little smaller. I didn't think the electric could be off that long. And if we need to be, they could come and fill it. It could be off for a week or something.
Well, we did the calculations with those tanks that were there. Yep. With those tanks that were there, if the power went off, say, January, when the temperature was zero. He said, first of all, the tanks would have frozen because the pull would have been so much, they call it vaporization, I think. It would have frozen the thing, and it was only about 9 hours worth of, if the generator was running full blast, there was only about 9 hours worth of gas in those two tanks. Yeah. So they definitely, the techs were pretty adamant that we needed the 500-gallon. Plus, they weren't prepared to hook up with the black iron pipe from the generator to the regulator. It's required for one that large. And then copper from the regulator to the tanks. So they didn't have the black iron with them. So I talked with George. He said, just have them bring home the two tanks. It'll take me 2 or 3 days to get you the 500-gallon tank, and then we'll have all the equipment. It'll be hooked up. So that, to me, made the most sense. So that's what we did. Spectrum is all hooked up. I meant to talk to Vern about that too, and I forgot. They do still have to hook up the computer in the fire or the highway barn. But the phone is hooked up and operational. And you probably saw in the abstract that we got billed, luckily, from Frontier and Spectrum in June, so our bills were pretty high. But next month, they'll be significantly lower. Again, talking to Rebecca on the Amish Cemetery, that will require a resolution stating that the town will not be responsible for any aspect of the cemetery. She will draft something up, and she did say that they would be required to go through a large state process to get approved for that, which we already knew. They're already aware of that.
Maybe the town's gonna have something.
Where's it gonna be?
On 28th,
Tinker Tavern, right behind the schoolhouse. On right
down the back of the hill where Dallas used to go?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And I still have no.
Yeah.
I still have no firm guidance on whether the basketball hoop or the playground should be reopened. The governor keeps. Exactly. So just to update you on that, there's nothing that I can do at this point. I couldn't think of any other old business. Does anybody else have anything under old business?
No.
Okay.
Did you hear anything from Brian?
Nope. I will. I didn't make you a copy yet, but I will. The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation proposes upgrades and rehabilitation work at the Salmon River Fish Hatchery, which will impact the regulated areas of Class 2 New York State Freshwater Wetland, R15, and the CT Class Beaver Dam Brook. And it goes on to tell that they've already gone through all the tests and everything, and there will be no impact registered, eligible, or inventoried archaeological sites or historic structures that will be affected. So they're just telling us they're going to work on the hatchery.
Yeah, they've done all their home studies.
Yep.
Brian hasn't showed up for
any of that work? No. Now, I do have another electrician that I've had to do a lot of work for me. I have talked to Brian a few times, and he keeps saying, yeah, I'll get back to you, I'll do this. And I don't know how much more time we want to give him.
Maybe if you would, just contact one more time, and if you can't do it within a week.
I think Bill brought up a good point, and I think Brian's point is he doesn't want to take the time to just fix that one light. He wants to bid the whole thing to go to LED, which is fine. We want him to do that. We want him to put that bid in, but in the short term, Bill kind of needs that light fixed. So I think that's where we're hitting, which I did convey that to Brian. I did tell him that exactly, so I will contact him again and see what we can get accomplished. That's all I had on new business. Anybody else have anything?
You still have one line. I might interrupt you.
We haven't received anything yet from the governor saying that we can do anything. So Rick mentioned that we might as well just wait till next month and talk about it again.
All right.
Ted will get back to me on the price of the stone, the pea stone, which once he talked to me about it, it made sense, I guess. Yeah, if we put the sand in, it's just going to grow grass eventually. Weeds, at least.
The concern is yet the particularly the playground, not so much that. We have no facilities.
Right.
I mean, 90% of the day and the evening, we have facilities locked up. So,
you agree.
We have to play for the night.
We have one under a lot down there, too.
Somewhere.
I understand your concern about that, but again, in reading everything, we are not required to provide facilities. It's not something that we have to do. Well, don't, according to the law or the insurance company. Okay, well, that's all I got. Motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
I don't know.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate your operating the meeting.
We're happy to help.
And hopefully we'll talk to you in person very soon.
I'll look forward to that.
Take care.
You too.